On the Big Breakfast Catch-Up with Claire, Matt and Kimber, our compelling chat with Andrew Brayshaw's father, Mark.
Ron Reed from Perth Homeless Support Group dropped in.
And Ita Buttrose. Well, she talks poo.
Ooh.
The Big Breakfast Catch-Up is brought to you by the great gas deals at Alinta Energy. Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
In case you missed the news overnight, West Coast Eagles star midfielder Andrew Gaff won't play again in 2018 after copping an 8-week ban from the AFL Tribunal last night, striking young docker Andrew Brayshaw and breaking his jaw. And this is what Andrew Gaff, our man at the West Coast Eagles, had to say after coming out of the Tribunal hearing.
First of all, I just want to say I'm so sorry to Andrew and the Brayshaw family and the pain I've caused them over the last 48 hours. I respect the Brayshaw boys so much and the way they go about it, and I'm really disappointed. I own my actions and it really hurts a lot.
Gaffy, very emotional there. It's been, as we've been saying all week, a tale of two Andys, and Andy Brayshaw's father, Andrew's dad, Mark Brayshaw. We're really glad that you could join us this morning, Mark. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
Mark, how's your boy? How is Andrew's recovery?
Look, he's got a very fat lip, I'm told, and you know, his jaw's wide, and he can't eat any solids for a month. But that's all going to quickly come and go. And you know, he's in really good spirits. My wife and his mum is still over there in Perth. I'm back in Melbourne. So look, he's pretty good, and I don't want to sound callous or give the impression that, you know, I don't care. But it could have been a lot worse. And in a blink of an eye, and he's going to be fine. So thanks for asking, but he's going pretty well.
Yeah, Mark, whereabouts were you and when did you find out about this? I mean, a lot of people found out at different places. Some were watching the game at Optus Stadium. Where were you? What were you sort of doing at that point in time?
Okay, so thankfully we were there.
Right.
We decided to book the weekend.
Yep.
We were sitting behind the grandstand and we saw it from a you know, I don't know, 100 or so metres. And look, that actually turned out to be good because Deborah, my wife, her phone had run out of battery.
Right.
We were actually watching Angus. Now, we've got another son who plays for Melbourne.
Melbourne, yeah.
Yeah, and the Demons were playing at the MCG, so we're watching that on the Telstra app, and consequently, Deborah's phone had run out of battery. So
right. She
wanted to grab mine to see what had happened, and I thankfully, I wouldn't let her have it because I didn't have much battery left either. And So he went off, and I assured her he'd be fine. I thought there was nothing wrong. He might get a couple of stitches and so forth. Anyway, after, I don't know, 10 or so minutes, she demanded to have my phone and grabbed it. And by that stage, I'd got a couple of pretty angry texts from friends, and we sort of both looked at each other and thought, oh, boy, maybe there is something wrong. And at that time, the club doctor called me, and again, this is it needs to be taken in context. He said, look, it's not too bad, but we suspect a fracture in the jaw and his teeth are pushed back and we have called an ambulance.
Right.
But I've known Ken Withers since I used to work at the doctors, believe it or
not,
on day one, and he was there. And so he's a friend, and the club doctors at footy clubs are very good people. And when he said that, I just had a sort of a sense of calm. I must say Deborah didn't have that. She was a bit teary and immediately went downstairs and was on the ambulance and was there front and square, and I stayed back. So I didn't see the footage until about 20 minutes later when I got my phone back, by which stage I'd spoken to Ken and I knew that he was in very good hands, and I was comforted by Ken's optimism.
Yeah, it is extraordinary, mate, because the two of you as parents would have been so worried over the years about Angus with his issues with his, you know, getting head knocks and the like. All of a sudden there's another boy and a bit of strife. It must have been a very strange moment for you.
Well, it was, but I can't tell you how pleased we were that we were there, because if we were sitting over here in Melbourne, Deborah would have been crawling up the wall.
Of course.
And the footy, both clubs, and this is important. I mean, first of all, the Dockers, as I said, Ken rang, their staff were great. But within an hour or so, I'd spoken to both chairmen, both CEOs, both footy managers. Ross was with Deborah, and I spoke to him later. Simo rang me, you know, straight after the game.
Mm.
And I just want everyone to know that the footy, both clubs, I know there's a lot of rivalry and there's a bit of argy-bargy, and that's fine. But I think it's important to know a couple of things, one of which is that both footy clubs, so far as Deborah and I are concerned, have been really fabulous, and the Dockers team of staff, just impeccable. So we're very fortunate.
Mark, you've got, as you say, three boys playing in the AFL at an incredibly high level. You're not new to the ups and the downs of the game. Are you comfortable that the rules and the play generally protect the players, or are there changes needed?
Well, look, here's my take on it. Mm. Okay, and I'm just a mug here, so but you've asked the question, and the reason I feel as I do is that if, to a man, and you guys know Andrew Gaff, I believe he's a regular on your show.
Absolutely,
stage,
yes,
and,
he is. Yeah.
And Hamish is, you know, Hamish drove me home from the ground, and he hasn't played for the Eagles yet, but he's on their squad. And he said to me, if you'd have told me that one of my teammates had done this, I would have, the last two
yep.
that I would have predicted was Andrew Gaff and Shannon Hearn.
Right.
And so with that in mind, I thought, well, how did it happen? Anyway, we got home to a friend's house.
Yeah.
He took out he had some video footage, and we watched it a fair bit. And you can actually see what was introduced at the tribunal last night. We saw it, my Andrew, slightly split his legs and slightly lower his centre of gravity.
Yep.
And put his face where his chest was. So in answer to your question, I think what needs to change is the rule, this habit that a good man like Andrew Gaff has clenched his fist with a view that I'm going to crack Andrew Brayshaw in the chest.
Yeah.
And on Monday, you know, there might be a fine that comes through. And, you know, it happens. And no one, the fact that punching in the stomach and the chest, people just shrug and don't seem to worry about it, I think it needs to change, because I accept Andrew's apology and his defence last night, which is that I had never intended to hit him in the face, but I did intend to hit him in the chest, mm-hmm. and no one really worries about that. And I reckon the industry, and it's already happening in Melbourne, and I'm sure in Perth, that the players and the industry are looking at each other and said, we've allowed punching in the back and the tummy and the chest and the arms to come in, and yep. you know, that's the sort of thing little kids follow, and amateurs and that. So I reckon that's an area they've got to look at closely.
Yeah, there was a lot of that argy-bargy, especially with the key players, the key midfielders. Every yeah. game it happens a lot, and the whacks are pretty hard. That's the thing. And if it's disguised as a jumper punch, they get away with it. But, mate, I just want to talk about your boy. Talk about Andrew. I was lucky enough to meet him 3 weeks ago hosting one of the rooms for Fremantle. And yep. The first thing that struck me was how young he looks when you meet him in person, because he's 18. But he's a smart kid, and he's a tough kid too, isn't he?
Okay, look, thank you. He's all of those things. But let's focus on the first one. He's young. I mean, he turns 19 in November, which
yeah.
means he's 6 weeks away from being in this year's draft or still at school in Victoria. And so one of the things that's, you know, I'll give you an insight into this. He's probably going to come home tomorrow to Melbourne.
Sure.
And he said to Deborah, my wife, because she's going to come home tonight. He says, oh, I'll just get I'll get a cab out to the airport and I'll come home tomorrow. And she looked at him and said, mate, what do you mean you're going to get a cab out to Melbourne? He said, well, I'll just get a cab and go to the Virgin Lounge and come home without any thought of the media speculation
yeah.
or the public interest. So the footy club, of course, said, well, you know, we'll make sure you're chaperoned and looked after. But he's, I don't think he really is aware of the bigger agenda, which is what I think we all need to be careful of in terms of Andrew Gaff, who's at the centre of a furious sort of storm, and so is my bloke, and he's a young fellow, and you know he's got a lot of time to get over this, and that's why I'm quite optimistic that in a short period of time the wire will come out.
Yep.
He'll have all of spring and summer to get ready, and you know Ross and the team at the Dockers will have him ready to go next year.
Pre-season again, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's in much. To be honest, I think he's in a much better shape than Andrew Gaff, who's who's in the middle of a storm.
Well, as we've said this week, Mark, that you know the idea that there are no winners here, and while Gaffy obviously has thrown a punch that's been really rough and dangerous, I suppose the thing is that now you just go, it wasn't meant to happen. Nobody planned for it to happen. It's not a great thing, but you know Gaffy's whole life is also going to be really affected by this. He still has to shoulder that, and in terms of mental health and stuff, we still need to support him.
Couldn't agree more. And I mean, I'm watching the game.
Mm.
Deborah goes, Andrew's off, and I could just see his body language look terrible. He did look as though he didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
I could see Ross Lyon. I knew what he was intuitively discussing around the three-quarter huddle, and it was a much extended huddle. I could see steadily the Dockers come off the bench, becoming aware of what had happened and roughing him up. I could see and sense that the crowd had no idea what had happened, and they were indignant. But I started thinking about Andrew Gaff. I started thinking about his mum and dad and what they'd be going through. He's a free agent. He's probably got that weighing on him. He's worrying about, you know, the finals are slipping through his fingers. Who knows how well he'd be going in the Brownlow. He's Hamish's friend, and that's Hamish's brother.
Yeah.
He's probably, at that stage, he admitted he was ashamed. Not to mention the accredited media, there's all the social media. And then, of course, there's this the Derby tradition, which, I'm a West Aussie and love it like the next man. This isn't, the Suns playing the Giants, for example. This is front and square in front of a massive crowd in this magnificent stadium that has potential to... The narrative changes. So, I agree. I was immediately concerned for Andrew, Gaff, that is, and I don't even know the guy. But once my son told me how good a fellow he is, and then I started getting phone calls from well-wishers within the industry, senior coaches at other clubs, all of whom said, gee, this is out of character. He's such a fine fellow. So I feel for him and his mum and dad, and I've made that known.
And Mike, just in conclusion for our chat, and we really appreciate your time, especially with so much going on, but a chance of the two Andrews coming together, the families coming together, a chat there?
Yeah, so Hamish is going to play Henry Kissinger and get them together.
The great diplomat.
And it's great. I don't know when it'll happen. I hope it's soon.
Yep.
Over here there's a horrible story in the mid-'80s when Lee Matthews and Neville Bruns from Geelong and Hawthorn got... And Neville Bruns was interviewed yesterday, and he mentioned that he hadn't had a chance to speak to Lee, and it still weighed on him. So I think it'd be terrific if the two Andrews can get together, shake hands. They've texted and spoken through Hamish, but I reckon that's an important milestone. And I hope your listeners and everybody in the West hears about that and is aware that that they have had that rapprochement, and that my Andrew has received and accepted his apology. And hopefully they go down to Collier Park over summer and have a game of golf and move on from it, rather than just extend the position where Matthews and Bruns are, which is not particularly good. And the sooner that happens, frankly, the better.
Yeah. Mark, we really appreciate your time and also your mature and considered thoughts on this, because, we agree, we don't want this to get worse, and we know that it can, and we hope that people can, coming from you, it means more. So thank you.
You're most welcome, and have a good day.
The Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
We were warm, dry, clean and fed last night. A lot of people were completely the opposite. We're talking, of course, this week about Homelessness Week, and a couple of representatives, a couple of our friends from Perth Homelessness Support Group, Ron and Michael, are joining us this morning. G'day, gentlemen. Good
morning.
To see you.
Good morning. Hello, listeners.
Now, we know it's really important to talk about homelessness because we are really fortunate, and we're very aware that homelessness has changed. There would have been a stigma many years ago where everyone thought it was just drug issues or mental health or people running away from home. And now we see that with people losing their jobs and things like that, that it can happen to any of us. We go from thinking we've got this huge support network to actually possibly being on the streets. You guys do a great job, and you actually go out and meet people on the streets and humanise them, get to know them, learn about their lives. What are you finding they need the most of right now?
Well, I think the one thing we've found that meeting someone face-to-face, it actually humanises the face of homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people see the problem, but they don't actually know what to do about it, so they're scared.
Yes.
Yep.
So I think lining up with people and actually looking in their eyes and telling them it's going to be okay, offering them some food and then offering them some advice and actually listening to their stories. Sometimes they don't want to talk about it.
But
many times if you go and meet somebody, rather than being scared with them, just go up and say hi.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying hi is going to be the doorway. Your hi could be the very thing that would prevent them from actually committing suicide, doing something really stupid.
Yeah.
Because most of them, their network of family, friends have been cut off.
Right.
Yeah.
The last straw. I mean, we've all got that friend that we've had enough of, and you're kind of going, well, look, I'm going to be there, but I don't want to hear any more. Well, these guys have suffered this type of thing over months,
they
years.
Can be cut loose.
Long
such.
Term.
Yeah. Michael, it can happen very quickly. People can slip into homelessness very quickly. And is dignity as important as everything else, all of the tangible things like food and shelter?
Well, I think so, yes. It's a hard thing for them to maintain a positive outlook on life, because it takes away choices, you could say. All of us have got choices. We've got nice warm homes and we've got family. But these people, they're down to the rock bottom. They've fallen through the cracks, and that's it. They're in homelessness. Once that day arrives, that they walk out the door, close the door behind them, and that's it. That if they're in the streets,
yep.
And of course they feel alone, frightened, not knowing what to do next. And there is what you would call a community of homeless people out there. I think because we gather them all together, they've all got to know each other quite well, and there is a fairly strong support system there. Sometimes we'll have a person who'll lose the plot, if you like,
mm-hmm.
They'll crack.
Yep.
And our volunteers all run to try and calm them down, and I'm like, no, step back. This is when we can hear what's really going on for them, and if we hear something from them and we can make a difference, then we'll step in and do it.
Mm. And Ron, you were telling us a story off air about that sense of community, that they've been there for each other, and someone who's been able to turn their life around due to the help from you guys in the community.
Correct. Yeah. Look, there's so many support systems during the week, but when the weekends fall down, you get to actually humanise the person, and they'll actually get to trust you. So we remember 4 years ago, the early days, we had a lot of young people on the street, and a lot of the young people actually community together.
Mm-hmm.
So over that period of time, we got to know a couple of them. Wonderful success story is one of them actually ended up leaving Perth, was able to get out of Perth in a wonderful relationship, had a little baby. And then they decided that they were going to pay forward to another one of the street people we knew, young person. And so they actually were able to pay for a flight. And this person was able to fly out of Perth and is now living safe off the street. And now this person was on the street from around 14. So, you know, the success story of being able to humanise someone and getting them to trust you, allow them to go to other services, because there's lots of services during the week. It's the weekends where it falls down. So this kind of community centre allows for them to see what they would call normal people living in houses, coming out and actually offering their time. We have a lot of respect for them, and they have a lot of respect back to us.
Mm.
So if you can actually look at someone and talk to them just like I'm doing to you now, they're going to have much more respect in looking and say, oh, you poor thing, you want a sandwich.
I don't want pity.
Yeah. Sure.
No, they're more likely to throw the sandwich back at you.
Yeah.
You know, people don't want charity. They want life. They want love. They want communication.
Yeah.
And that's what our mission statement is, see the need and make a difference without prejudice.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter who you are. You don't have to look like you're on the last leg, because we admire the people that come up and they'll just say, hey, thank you so much for that sleeping bag. I had a really nice dry night. Or, thank you for the communication about going to the services that are available. I bit the bullet. I went and saw the service. I'm now off the street. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Great.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So people who are wondering, gentlemen, how they can help, even if it's in a small way, what can they do?
Well, I think the very first place for you to start is to go to our Facebook group, Perth Homeless Support Group.
Yep.
Facebook is kind of our landlord with all of our groups. We also have another group that is associated with the Perth Homeless Support Group called PHSG Walks. If you join that group, that's where you can find out how to volunteer, how to literally get involved physically. We have another one called Perth Homeless PHSG Depot, which is because we now have our own space to store everything. You can go to there and you can discuss donations. Cash, of course, is always a much help. We convert that into items. All that information is available on Perth Homeless Support Group.
And I think that's the important thing. You guys know what they need. And so if you're out there and you want to donate and there's something you want to give and you don't know whether it's your time or your money or whatever you have, if you have the things, then please get in touch with these guys, because they know what the people on the street are looking for.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not that helpful to just rock up with something that they don't need.
Well, that's right.
You have to consider what they can carry.
Of course.
So small items, nothing too heavy.
Yeah. We have an events page as well. The event page is kind of like our little cash cow. So you can go on to events.
Sure.
We have a great event there at the depot this weekend. If you like succulent plants, they're actually having a succulent plant sale this weekend at the depot. So you can check out our depot. It's 28A in Munt Street in Bayswater.
There you go. You have Kimber there. You've seen succulents.
A wonderful couple have actually decided they donated all this. They do this. They look for a charity to do it. They've just happened to choose Perth Homeless Support Group.
Brilliant.
So it's going to be held there on Saturday morning for between 10 o'clock and 2, I believe. The phone number is...
In case people aren't writing down, we'll just say go to the Perth Homeless Support Group.
Correct.
Call us here at Mix if you need any more information.
We'll put all of the details up on our website as well.
We'll put
everything up, because we would love everyone to do what they can. And as we said, people are lost and don't know how to help, and this is the way.
So. Absolutely. Hey, thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for having us.
This will fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
The legend of publishing, broadcasting and Aussie icon Ita Buttrose is on the line, about to have a chat with us.
What a lady.
This is pretty cool, isn't it, when you think about it. She wanted to talk about poo this morning because 17,000 Aussies are diagnosed with bowel cancer each year.
Mm-hmm.
Get to 50, get your test and get it done. Don't put it away. Of course, she is the patron of the Jodie Lee Foundation on top of everything else. Ita Buttrose, welcome.
Good morning.
Ita, you are a very classy lady, and so I never thought that I would share a conversation with you about poo.
Hang on.
But let's talk poo. It's important, isn't it?
It is. It is. I've become the patron of the Jodie Lee Foundation, which is a foundation that was set up in honour of Jodie Lee, who died of bowel cancer when she was 41. We try to raise awareness of bowel cancer, about the prevalence of it in our country. We have one of the highest rates of bowel cancer in the world. And 90% of bowel cancers can be successfully treated if detected early.
Mm.
However, they are not detected early in Australia by enough people. Fewer than 40% are detected at an early stage, you know, when you can remove the incidence of bowel cancer altogether.
Mm.
But the reason it's not being picked up is because people say they're too busy to do the free bowel cancer screening kit test that is sent to all Australians once they turn 50.
Yeah.
Can that be true, Ita, or is it this sort of, I don't know, Anglo-Saxon fear of all things bodily, that people just don't want to address things like poo?
Well, there's a lot more of a story. We're not all Anglo-Saxon.
Sure, I understand.
That could be part of it. Yes, I think that is the reason. You know, it doesn't matter really where we all come from. There's a reluctance because we are talking about poo. And yet, you know, if we take dog for a walk, we get the doggy bag out, we pick up the poo, we don't think about it. When we have babies, when we have children, we wipe their pooey little bottoms quite a lot without without even thinking about it. And yet when it comes to our own poo, we're reluctant to test it. And yet it's a simple test. You do it in the privacy of your own house. Nobody knows about it. It's just you. On two consecutive days, you take a sample of your stool, put it in a little sealed bag, send it off to the address that's given in the kit. And if you've got a problem, you'll hear from your doctor. If you don't, well, then you don't.
I think with our health, we end up in a position where we kind of just adapt quickly. So suddenly, you know, there was a moment where you go, I feel a bit bloated, or and you just think, I've just had too much pasta, or I've eaten too much or whatever. And we just sort of don't take it seriously when it happens long term.
Well, any change in your bowel movement should be a signal. Certainly if they lasted for, say 3 weeks, you should go off and see your GP. If you get any bleeding from your bottom or any blood in your bowel movements, again, you should go and see your GP.
Absolutely. And Ida, I take your point that this is across all cultures, but is there any specific reason that we know of why Australia has such a high rate of bowel cancer? Is it our diet?
It could be. Mm. I mean, certainly that would be a factor in it. Lifestyle diet, if you have a diet that's high in saturated fats and processed meat, yes, that's an indicator. You know, of course you've got to eat meat, but, you know, you've got to be careful how much you eat. If you smoke, you shouldn't. You should limit your alcohol intake to what's recommended. You should try and have a healthy weight, and you should exercise. If people could just get up and walk around, take 30 minutes of brisk walking, that would just be so good for everybody.
Oh, yeah, daily constitutional. Yeah,
nothing that gets the bowels moving, in my humble opinion, is a good walk.
Got to keep moving. Hey, before you go, Ita, I want to know, in this age of high-definition TV, I popped on the telly the other day and you were there looking $1 million. Now, every year we do the annual telethon here on Channel 7 and I look $2.50. What's your secret? What's your secret, girl?
Well, I certainly think I inherited some good genes from my parents, so I'm very grateful to both of them. But I do practice what I preach. I do exercise every day, and I do watch what I eat, and I try and keep my weight at a healthy level, and I think it seems to work for me.
Well, you've given great advice today, Ita, and if we can talk about poo with Ita Buttrose, then everyone should be able to talk about poo with anyone.
Hear, hear. Yeah,
that is correct.
Yeah, your partner, whoever it might be. Hey, thanks, Ita. All the best. Take care.
Thank you.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, the moment you've been waiting for all morning. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day.
Yeah, guy's going to have a barbie with a heap of his mates and he walks into a fish and chip shop and he said, can I have the largest fish you've got? And the guy behind the counter says, yeah, it won't be long. And the guy says, well, it better be a fat one then.
Oh, dude.
Oh, jeez.
Won't be long.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. That Big Breakfast catch-up was brought to you by the great gas deals at Alinta Energy.